is in the final week of his earthly life. And we studied last week, Matthew chapter 26, up until verse number 36, where Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, a memorial, the Passover. We said the Passover itself actually lasted 8 days. And so Jesus himself symbolically took the emblem of the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine to symbolize his body and his blood that would be shed soon on the cross itself. And so, as in verse number 30, it says that when they had summoned him, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So today we pick up in chapter 26, verses 31. We're going to read verse 31 to verse 46. Verse 31 to verse 46, where we'll see the next scene will be Gethsemane, where submission and resistance are at odds with one another. Can you get a volunteer, please, to read Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 35 to begin with? Matthew chapter 26, verses 31 through 35.
Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep on the floor will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times.
Okay, thank you. And so in verse 36 says, "And Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and said to the disciples, 'Sit here while I go and pray over there.' And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me.' He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.' And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and saith to Peter, 'What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Verse 42 says, "Again, a second time he went away and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them, ran away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And he came to his disciples and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.'" See, my betrayer is at hand. And so, at the Mount of Olives, was a private garden that Jesus often had used as a retreat. We see that in John chapter 18, verse 2. The word Gethsemane means oil press, a place of pressure, a significant name in light of our Lord's agony in that garden. So Jesus himself was a man, just like you and me, and he found himself in a difficult situation here in the Garden of Gethsemane. And so we see that the disciples' failure, which was announced. We usually, and see, Jesus said that in verse 31, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." That is in Zechariah chapter 13 and verse number 7. Whenever the head is not in order, the body will also be out of order. Yeah, there's a famous saying that fish always rots at the head. When the head is not in place, when the head is not functioning properly, the whole body will fall apart and scatter. Not only in the physical, but also in the spiritual. And so Satan himself knew that he could not get Jesus to catch him in sin, catch him in a lie, and so he will strike Jesus and cause the sheep to scatter. And so here was verse 32. "But after I have been raised, he says, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. But here comes Peter again. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. And so we usually point to Peter as the one who failed the Lord, but all of the disciples were involved in this activity. So Jesus referred again in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, in a warning to his disciples, but he also added the word of promise. He said, I will rise again and meet you in Galilee. I mentioned as we studied through Matthew chapter 26, there are several P's. There are several P's that I have pointed out. In verse number 14 in your Bible, it says, and the 12, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said to him, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that day he sought opportunity to betray him. That first P is a plot. It's a plot. You know, we always plot and scheme. Verses 17 through 30 is preparation. It's preparation. And then in verse 31, Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd. The first P is in verse 31 is the prediction that all of you will do this. And then in the latter part, I will strike the shepherd. It's a prophecy. And then in verse number 32, but after I have raised, I will go before you to Galilee. That's a promise. That's a promise. And in verse 35, when Peter said, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. That's a pledge. That's a pledge. And so, when Peter disagreed with the Lord, this was the beginning of his sin of denying the Lord. Peter was unwilling to apply the word all to himself. Instead of reassuring Peter, the Lord gave him a personal warning. He would deny him, the Christ, three times. How many times have we denied Jesus? How many times have we denied Jesus? Countless times. Yeah? And so we see his surrender, Jesus' surrender. He came to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Yeah? And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Who were the two sons of Zebedee? James and John. James and John. These were the three. Jesus had 12 disciples, but his inner circle were these three disciples. Over and over we read in Scripture, in particular the Gospel of John, these three men. Peter, James, and John. That shows us that all of us need friends. Not just friends, but good friends. Amen. But they're not perfect. You'll see that here in Peter, James, and John. And so he left the... Yes, sir.
Was there any requirement for Christ to the children?
What was that, sir?
Was there any requirement that Christ used to the children of them?
Well, Jesus said to all of us, if you love me, to do what? If you love me, keep my commandments, obey my commandments. So how do we demonstrate our love to the Lord? You see that? And so, whatever pleases God, that's a prayer. You see? Because quite often, who we try to please more than anybody else? Matthew 6:33 says what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so, a true friend, be not perfect. Is God looking for perfection? He's not looking for perfect people, because he chose men like Judas and Peter, James and John. They were not perfect,
yeah.
But God still used them. Yes.
Talking about perfect.
Yes.
He said God is not looking for perfect.
He's not looking for perfection.
But he said be perfect.
What does that word perfect mean? means completely. Yes? So you remember in James says, if any man what? If any man lacks wisdom. Do we lack wisdom?
Yes.
So we are not perfect people. God is not perfect. We think of perfection as in not making any mistakes. But perfection means complete. There's something lacking. Yeah? So when you go to the doctor and you say, I'm not feeling well, what's the first thing the doctor does? How does he come up with a diagnosis? He has to run some
tests.
Huh? And what's the test for? To figure out what's lacking. You need more iron. Huh? What's the prescription? The fruit of the Spirit. Huh? What's the Spirit for? Why does God give us the Spirit? To complete us. Something's lacking. Love, joy, peace. You see, because the flesh, and we're going to get to that, because we see that. We see that in these men in the garden. This is where the spirit and the flesh meet. Because there's always conflict. Isn't that right? There's always conflict. Yes. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
So if you have a friend that is not perfect,
yes.
Do you have a responsibility to that person?
Absolutely. What's your responsibility? What's your responsibility to that person?
No.
And what type of love?
Well, I don't.
What type of love?
Agape.
Agape. What that mean? So, your question is, what do you think their responsibility is?
My responsibility, according to the scripture,
yes,
is to
is
to help the person.
Yes.
Is to help the person.
Yes.
Oh. To see his problem.
How?
Oh. I don't
know.
Ma'am, let's stick in the Gospel of Matthew. You are the light of the world. Huh? So your job is to be Christ. Christ-like. Isn't that right? So what a Christian, the word Christian means Christ-like. And so was Jesus patient?
Yes.
Was Jesus long-suffering?
Yes.
Did Jesus speak the truth?
Yes.
Did Jesus correct?
Yes.
Did Jesus love?
Yes.
Do we do all those things? Okay. Why?
I'm supposed to be patient.
Yes.
To love.
Yes.
To be long suffering.
Yes.
Towards the imperfect friend.
That's right. Why?
But if I don't do those things, what happens to me?
Oh. Well, that means you don't love me. Because if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yeah.
Right? Because remember Jesus said, when did you see me sick? When did you see me in prison? When did you see me thirsty? If you've done this to what? The least of these, you've done it unto me. So every day God puts opportunities in front of us. And the reason we do that is because I'm imperfect. I am impatient. I am unlovable sometimes. Because what you want for others, but what you want for yourself, you should do for others as well. But you know what we do? Because remember, we talk about when somebody wrongs you, what do you want? Justice. Huh? But when you wrong somebody, what do you want? But you want mercy. So why don't you want mercy? Because we can be Jesus when we want to be. Huh? When it's easy. It's easy to love people who love us back. How? What about the unlovable? For he that lacks mercy or does not show mercy, guess what's going to happen? Huh? What does Luke 6:38? Luke 6:38 says what? It's in your Bible. Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Huh? If you give an attitude, you won't get an attitude. If you give hate, you're going to get hate. If you're unfriendly, people are going to be unfriendly to us. Yeah? But what does it say? Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. What's the scripture say?
Shake it together.
Shake it together. Press down. Running over. Shall be what? Shall be measured into your bosom for the same that you measure will be what? Measured back to you. That's the law of reciprocity. What goes around comes around. You heard that expression? That's what that means. Why are people not, why don't folk at my job like me? Well, maybe you're not likable. Maybe you're not approachable. Huh? Maybe you're unfriendly. You see? So, we have a responsibility to be Christ-like. And here we have Jesus. These were his friends now. These were his friends. His close friends. Were they perfect? I would never. How many of us have said that? Huh? So he left eight of the disciples at the entrance of the garden while he, Peter, James, and John went further into the garden. This was the third time he had taken these three men with him. What was the first time that Jesus took these three men with him? Who could remember? The Mount of Transfiguration. Remember? And who was speaking up? Who spoke up? Peter. Let us build three tabernacles. Huh? You remember that. That was us. Matthew 17. And then he was also, they were also there in the home of Jairus when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead in Luke 8:49. And now, what did he want them to do? Watch and pray. You sing that song, Watch and Pray? Huh? He was entering into a difficult time and the presence of his disciples would have been an encouragement to him. You ever had folk let you down? Ever had folk let you down? Anybody? All of us have had somebody to let us down. Somebody made a promise to you and didn't keep it. Somebody lied to you. Huh? But have you let anybody else down?
Yes.
But we remember who lets us down when we forget we've done the same thing ourselves. Isn't that right? But they should have, she should have known better. He, how could he? But you've done it before too. You've done it before. Huh? Watch and pray. Lest you what? Enter into, what's the temptation? What's the temptation? What was the temptation? What was the temptation? Sleep. While he was over there praying, they were sleeping. You know, there are times when we feel that when it's a problem, if I just ignore it, it will go away. Ever felt that way?
Yeah.
If I just go to sleep, I'll take a trip and go somewhere, and when you get there, your truck is there waiting for you. Huh? You can't sleep. Your mind is racing. Watch and pray. How many times did he come back and see him?
Three times.
And so, he said, watch and pray. He said, listen, in verse 41, lest you enter into temptation, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Ever feel like that sometimes? Why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I think that there is a war going on between your two ears? In your mind. Huh? You know what the right thing to do is, but you still keep doing the wrong thing. For the spirit is willing, but this flesh. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? He said, I buffet my body. How often? To do what? That I might bring it into subjection. You know, it has been proven that in order to lose weight effectively, the mind must be engaged. Yeah, so you can take all the supplements and pills or whatever, but if you have it made up in your mind that I'm going to be disciplined, I'm going to stop doing all that donut show. Huh? I'm going to quit, unless you, huh? make up your mind. He says, what was Jesus doing? Praying, oh my Father, verse 42, if this cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it. What cup is he talking about? Is he talking about a wine cup? No. It's a sign. Flesh, the flesh is saying no, but the Spirit said, Jesus said, I know I've got to do this. I know I've got to do this. Hmm? You ever have to, you have a difficult assignment to do, young people, and you procrastinate like me, huh? And so, remember, the disciples pledged that they will stick with it. Stick with it. You got folk like that, huh? You talk about your mind, well, I don't die. This is my home, and this is my home, boy, home, girl. And when it's a problem, you can't find them. But that Jesus knew how that felt. And so, each of us must decide, will it be the sword or the cup? Will it be the sword or the cup? Will I resist God's will or submit to God's will as well? The cup that each of us must bear is suffering. All of us can actually suffer. Did you know that? There will be no suffering without life. And no life without suffering. But suffering ultimately leads to glory. We need not fear the cup, for it has been prepared by the Father especially for us. We hear that statement, God will not give you more than you can bear. Hmm? Yeah. But when you're going through something, you say, I can bear it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. I can, but because here's the reality of life. Whatever you're going through, whatever suffering you're going through, it won't last forever. Did you know that?
Yeah.
But it may seem like an eternity when you're in it, but it's not going to be forever. You see that? And so, he knows, God knows how much we can take, and he mixes the contents in wisdom and love. And that's where God meets us. Even in our imperfection, God will meet us. Yeah? Someone once said, you heard me say this before, the quickest way to get on your feet is to be driven to your knees. The quickest way to get on your feet is to be driven to your knees, because see, pride gets in the way. Stubbornness, arrogance, denial gets in the way. And so he went and prayed three times, came back. Verse 45, he came to his disciples and said, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. This is my time. And the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of who? Sinners. Rise and let us be going. See my betrayers at hand. See, there's a time for everything. There was a time for prayer, but prayer time is over now. That's when it's deadly. You see, you had the opportunity to pray for whatever it was, but the Lord said, is this not, you missed that window. Now, prayer, let me help you out now, because guess what? Prayer can fix everything. Did you know that? Huh? If you have committed a crime, you can't pray your way out of that. Now, you get to choose the action, but you don't get to choose the consequences. Isn't that right? Yeah, because you thought in your mind that I've got this. Prayer time is over. Now you gotta, it's time to meet the betrayer. That's what they're saying to him here. That's the reality of life that all of us must face. Yes.
Yes. So talking about prayer can fix everything. I want to compare it to the thief on the cross.
Yes.
Because if we go ahead with that kind of mindset, we get to a point where we condemn ourselves when there is the opportunity.
Yes.
No one or judge, no human being will believe that the thief that has been sentenced and committed to death will still find mercy.
Okay.
So how do you compare that?
Well, so
because he made a prayer.
He made a prayer.
That was holy.
Every prayer gets an answer. We said that. Would you agree? Every prayer gets answered. Yeah? But does God hear every prayer? Does God hear every prayer? He hears it. So you can pray all day long, and it's not doing anything. Hit the ceiling, come right on back down. Yeah? The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And what did he do? He prayed. Did God change anything? Did God change anything from him?
Yeah.
What did he change?
He reminded him.
Yes. He answered him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And told him his grace is sufficient.
That's it. Yes.
So that was an encouragement.
Yes.
And he got an
answer. Yes. Now, the thief on the cross, who was he talking to?
Christ.
He was talking to Christ. Yes. In which dispensation? In the Mosaic dispensation. Yeah, because Jesus had died yet. In the Mosaic dispensation. Yeah? Did his prayer get answered? Yeah. And so there will be consequences. Would you agree to that? So there are some things that prayer won't change.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But the most important thing to us.
Yes.
Is salvation.
Salvation, yes.
Being right with God. So irrespective of it, if you lose your limbs, God forbid, you can't fix it back. But you can still make a meaningful life.
Because
some people have small problems and they felt they can never find mercy. At the end of the day, they lose the crown.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying this so that we continue to have that mindset like Paul. Because I believe that Jesus was able to have mercy on the thief because he saw his heart. That is all that we needed.
Yeah. Now, mercy and salvation are two different things. Would you agree? Mercy and salvation are two different things.
Salvation
is what? Salvation is deliverance. Deliverance from the consequences of our sin. Would you agree there? So that salvation is what will assure a sinner that he will not be condemned on judgment day. Would you agree to that? And so, but because we have here in Matthew chapter 26, two men, Judas and Peter, both were apostles, but each one went different ways. Why? Is it to say that God that Jesus wasn't merciful to them? What was the difference between Judas and Peter? Choices. I like that. Choices. The choices they made determined their destination. Am I right? So the choices that we made is not to say God is not merciful, because he is merciful. But in order for him to be a just judge, he must, you hear what Jesus said over in Matthew 16, whatever I bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever I loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Because God is the one who defines what sin is. Isn't that right? And he also defines what the consequences are. For the wages, we talked about that. Judas got a wage. He took his wage here on earth. And what was his destiny? The wages of sin is what type of death? Spiritual death. Spiritual death. Did Jesus intervene? He had the opportunity to make it right. Would you agree? He did. And so, that doesn't mean God's not merciful. That does not mean God is not merciful. You see that? And so, his righteousness is based on his standard, not man's standard. Did I answer your question? And so, this is what we have to explain to people. God will forgive you of your sin, but not necessarily of the consequences of your sin. That's what God has judges here on earth for as well. They are God's ministers. For what? For righteousness. They're not perfect, but they have a responsibility. And so here was the time in verse 47, it says, and while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude of swords and clubs came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Here they come, a mob has come to arrest Jesus. Isn't that something? Now this betrayer had given them a sign, saying in verse 48, whoever I kiss, he is the one, seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? What do you think Jesus asked Judas there? Did Jesus already know why?
Yes.
Why do you think he asked that question?
You know what he's thinking about, and you know what
to do. That's his conscience. It's appealing to Judas's conscience. And how did he address it? Friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him, and suddenly one of those who were with Jesus struck out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Who was that? Peter. I like Peter. Peter's like us. Huh? Peter was wild. I like Peter. But Jesus said to him, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Somebody needs to tell Israel that today. Somebody needs to let Israel know that today. Needs to let Russia know that today. All who live by the sword will perish by the sword. Huh? Because Jesus said, what? Vengeance is mine. Who will repay? I will repay. You know, when you try to get folk back, that's a slippery slope to nowhere. Huh? And you say, or do you not know, verse 53, that I cannot now pray to my Father, he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it might happen thus? In that hour Jesus said to the multitudes, have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then what is the last sentence say? Then how many? All the disciples forsook him. So the arrest. Jesus knew that Judas and the arresting officers were near. So he awakened the sleeping disciples and prepared them for what was coming. The fact that this band of soldiers and temple guards carried weapons and lanterns in verses 47, and look at verse 45. Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? This shows that Judas did not really understand Jesus. He said, you better be careful. You know, he's got a lot of fellas around him. They might fight for him. But you better be good prepared. Judas thought that they would have to search for him in the garden and fight off his disciples in order to arrest him, but Jesus came to them and calmly surrendered. It would not even have been necessary for Judas to betray Jesus with a kiss, for Jesus told the soldiers who he was. And it is tragic to see how Judas cheapened everything he touched. His name means praise in Hebrew. The word Judah is the Greek equivalent of Judah in the Hebrew. Yet, who would name a son Judas today? You don't need too many Judases. Hey, what's your name? My name is Judas. Really? Really? Okay. And here Judas used a kiss as a weapon, not as a sign of affection. In that day, it was customary for the disciples to kiss their teacher, but in this case, it was not a mark of submission or respect. Interesting. betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Jesus made this statement in verse number 50 question. He asked a question in verse 54. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it might happen thus? That's Isaiah 53. What does Isaiah 53 talk about? The suffering servant. Who will believe our report? That Jesus will suffer at the hands of sinful men. Can you imagine beating God up? God in the flesh. Any questions or comments?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What is the position of Judas at this point of time?
What was that?
What is the position of Judas?
Now, Jude?
At this point of time.
Yeah.
Because there are many prophecy that some do that turn to Christ. If he had betrayed Christ and repented, would it be a better way for him? Or if he had not done that, who would have done that? Because it had been a fulfillment that somebody had not done. If you are going to come to do that, yeah, then the prophecy or the things that are written about Christ not be fulfilled.
Yeah.
So what is that impression of Judas in this point? They call it a black sheep or?
From man's perspective, we probably would think of Judas as a black sheep. And that was a question that was asked me after the class last week, that the prophecy must be fulfilled. However, the outcome was up to the individual. Because you remember when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me, and then he said, which one? Is it our? He said, the one that dips his hand in the ditch. What was that? That was opportunity. That was opportunity.
But hold on there. If he had changed mind at that point not to betray him,
yeah,
how would the fulfillment come back again?
But again, the prophecy had to be fulfilled because remember, Jesus predicted that Peter was denying three times. But what was different about Peter than Judas? What was the difference?
He had a choice.
Ah, that's it. And so he repented. You see, because what Judas tried to do was take the money back. To the Jews, they said, what they say, we don't know that. We don't even know that. That's love money. You see that? And so his grief, his guilt, his shame, his anguish caused him to do what? He went out and committed suicide. That was not God's choice. That was Jesus' choice. Even for us. All of us are going to find ourselves in difficult positions where we sin, and sometimes the guilt of the sin can be so overwhelming. I can relate to that. But at some point, God will show up. God always shows up. And so, just like Brother Dutton said, we can pray. You know, Romans talk about there sometimes we don't want to pray. But the Spirit makes intercession for us. That's another purpose of the Spirit. So that when you get on your knees, Lord, I don't even know what I need you anymore, but I know I need you. When David sang with Bathsheba, he wrote the 51st Psalm. He said, create me a what? A clean heart. And renew. What does renew mean? To bring back from its original state. To it was new before, and now it's willed up. Now bring it back to that new state again. Renew me a right spirit within me. You see that? I messed up. That's why it's like, Lord, I messed up. Sometimes you get on that floor and you say, Lord, I don't know what to do. He said, not about you. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you who labor, are weary, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yeah. But the greatest command there is what? Come. Come, just come. You heard that expression, come as you are, come broken, come needy, come hungry. Come disheveled. Come on your knees. Break, even if you're going to break yourself, just come. Yeah, because see, the definition of a marriage relationship is naked and unashamed. There are no hidden things with God. God saw you when you sinned. He saw you But you couldn't, yeah, so he knows already. You're not telling anything new, just come. You see that? But what we do is we put up barriers where they're unnecessary because we feel like I'm unworthy. Yes, you're unworthy. That's what Jesus went to that cross for. Yeah, I'm ashamed. Yes, I know how it feels to be ashamed. I know how you feel. I've been there. You see? And so when we start making statements like nobody understands, nobody knows, that's not true. Because he was tempted, the scripture says, in all points, such as we, yet the Bible says, without sin. Huh? Because all sin is what? A choice. All sin is a choice. So to undo it, you got to make a what? A better choice. Yeah? That makes sense. You know, it took me a lot of years. Went to some counseling and a lot of pondering. But it was on my knees that I realized, you know what? God's word is true. God's word is true. He will meet you on the mountaintop when you're celebrating, but he'll also meet you in the valley. Huh? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear what? No evil. See, you there's some things, and it's not the last, this for free. The 23rd Psalm. You have to go through some things in order to get to some things. You can't go around your problems. You may never get over your problems, but with Jesus you can get through your problems. Huh? You know, we're trying to avoid, you can't avoid this. You're already there in the valley. He said, I'm going to walk with you. You see? And so when I took that on and really understood that, I said, Lord, you are really serious. And then you can say, God is good. Huh? You can't appreciate how good God is unless you've been in a bad state. And so Jesus knew. He knew that he would be betrayed. He knew that Judas was going to do it with a kiss. But he still went through. You see that? And so nothing will stop God's purpose from happening. Nothing you do will stop God from loving you. Did you know that? There's nothing you can do to stop God from loving you. But that love also will correct you. Yeah? He will forgive you of your sins, but he may not excuse you from the consequences. That's the reality. But he said, I'll walk with you in your circumstances. But the key is, keep looking and keep walking. That's 1 John. That's 1 John. Huh? Yeah, and so he had to do that in order to identify with us and be an advocate for us. So he can come alongside when the devil is trying to accuse you before God and say, no, you have one other chance because I know what Gary's going through. I've been there. That's the confidence we have that somebody answers things. And there is hope. There's always hope. But you've got to look for it. Let's pray.